Welcome to Lexington, Missouri, and to A Cannonball, A Calaboose, and Count Basie, our walking and driving tour of the Downtown Commercial Historic District. For a safe, enjoyable experience, please listen carefully to the directions and follow all safe road practices. If walking, keep in mind that all roads are active thoroughfares. Obey traffic signals and be careful crossing streets. If driving, feel free to turn on your emergency blinkers so other drivers are alerted that you are going slowly, and pull over to the curb whenever possible to listen to the narration. Watch closely for approaching traffic, cross traffic, and pedestrians crossing streets. Many of the points of interest on this tour are open to the public, and shops and restaurants will welcome your patronage during regular business hours. And now, enjoy A Cannonball, A Calaboose, and Count Basie.
This driving or walking tour is 1 mile in length. The tour begins in front of the Lafayette County Courthouse on Main Street between 10th and 11th Streets. If you are driving, park on Main Street in front of the courthouse, facing east or towards 11th Street. Pause the tour until you are stopped in front of the courthouse. Then play the next track to hear a brief history of Lexington.
Downtown Lexington may strike you today as a quaint, quiet version of Main Street, USA, but it has not always been so calm. Santa Fe Trail traders and steamboat captains once strutted along these streets. Horse-drawn wagons and ox carts stood in lines blocks long, waiting to load their produce on riverboats or cross the Missouri River by ferry. In September of 1861, thousands of Southern troops marshaled here, preparing to do battle, cheered on by crowds waving Confederate flags. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, coal miners and college boys flocked to the saloons, billiard halls, and bordellos of the notorious Block 42 on Main Street. By turns, downtown Lexington has been boisterous, bellicose, bibulous, and bawdy, but never boring. Lexington was founded in 1822, just a year after Missouri had become a state. The original town was about a mile to the east of here and soon became a major stop on the Santa Fe Trail, which started in central Missouri. As steamboat traffic increased, a new town center was laid out in 1836, closer to the river. Soon, many substantial brick churches, commercial buildings, and homes were built. And in 1847, work began on a new Lafayette County courthouse. The Greek Revival structure you see today was completed in 1849 and is the oldest courthouse in Missouri still in use. You can tour the courthouse during regular business hours, Monday through Friday, and see the interesting collection of paintings on Lafayette County history. Be sure to read the historical markers to the left and in front of the building. And of course, you must take a picture of the famous Cannonball in the Courthouse column, high up in the far left column of the portico, which has become the symbol of Lexington. The story of the cannonball dates back to September of 1861, when an estimated 16,000 or more pro-Southern Missouri State Guard troops entered Lexington, commanded by Major General Sterling Price. They came to do battle with the 3,500 federal troops who had fortified the bluffs about a quarter mile northeast of downtown. By capturing Lexington, General Price aimed to control Missouri River traffic, allow pro-Southern volunteers to cross over from northern Missouri, and ultimately lead Missouri out of the Union and into the Confederacy. Before the battle, the 6th Division of the pro-Southern Missouri State Guard was lined up down 10th Street all the way to the river, where they captured a steamboat. The 4th Division formed up on Main Street for about a half mile to the east. A lieutenant named Barlow described the scene before the battle.
The street was lined with ladies, sobbing and waving handkerchiefs, and one old gentleman climbed a gatepost and exhorted our marching column in true encamping style. General Price had surely posted his brass band undercover at the foot of the hill, and as we approached, they struck up a lively battle tune, Gary Owen.
Meanwhile, federal troops were bombarding the downtown area with cannons from their fortified positions on the bluffs. Churches, businesses, and homes were all hit.
One cannonball went right through a cast iron safe in a business office, and a bystander lost his leg to another cannonball. And another ball hit one of the stone columns of the courthouse, leaving a large dent. About 50 years later, an old man appeared before the county commissioners with a cannonball. He swore that as a young man, he had picked up this ball on the courthouse lawn during the battle, and that it was the ball that had struck the column. The county commissioners had the ball attached to the column with an iron rod, where it has remained ever since. Claims that it is really just a croquet ball painted black were refuted when the courthouse was recently painted, and painters struck the ball with a hammer, getting a true iron ping in return. As we continue our tour of the downtown historical district, you'll see some buildings that were standing at the time of the battle, although many have been modernized or replaced in a wide range of architectural styles. Across from the courthouse at 1010 Main Street is an example of a Queen Anne commercial building that probably dates from the 1880s, with an elaborate cast iron ornamentation and an oriel window projecting from the second floor. Next door at 1012 Main Street is a former bank building that is a fine example of the Beaux-Arts style, characterized by classical forms, symmetry, and rich ornamentation.
Now, head east and cross 11th Street. If driving, please turn on your emergency blinkers now so others know you are going slowly. If walking, use the right side of the street. Stop by the corner of 11th and Main before listening to the next track.
At 11th and Main, the building on the southeast corner was originally a silent movie theater and features a single cast iron column at the corner entrance. It is thought that this is where Carl Stalling played piano for the silent films. Carl Stalling was born here in Lexington in 1891 to German immigrant parents. He grew up to be the composer for the famous Warner Brothers Looney Tunes cartoons, featuring Porky Pig and Bugs Bunny. The next building on the right, at 1103 and 1105 Main, has been restored to its turn-of-the-century appearance. The building at 1109 Main, dating to 1869, is a shining, well-preserved example of an Italianate-style commercial building. Notice the cast iron window heads on the second floor with arched sash and window panes and the decorative cast iron storefront. At 1114 Main, across the street on the north side, the tall yellow brick building is a Beaux-Arts structure that long served as a Montgomery Ward department store. Notice the terracotta Masonic symbol above the entrance to the lodge rooms upstairs and the embedded limestone columns on the top floor. Back on the south side of the street, 1119 A Main served as a grocery store and meat shop for many decades, starting in the late 1800s. Over the years, Lexington has had many grocery stores, both downtown and in the neighborhoods. And with the advent of the telephone, many people were able to call in their orders, which were then delivered by horse-drawn vehicles and later delivery trucks. As you approach 12th Street, the brick building set back from the street near the southwest corner is said to date back to the 1840s or earlier, when it was used to craft wheels for the wagons of the huge freighting company of Russell, Majors, and Waddell.
Continue moving forward or east on Main Street and cross over 12th Street. If driving, pull over and park to hear about the buildings at 1201, 1202, and 1211 Main Street. If walking, continue on the right side of the street.
At 1201 Main, on your right and at the corner, is a church dating back to 1839, when it was built as the Christian Church. In about 1870, it became the Second Baptist Church and was rebuilt in 1893 in the Romanesque Revival style. This is the only remaining African-American congregation in Lexington, among several that were organized after the Civil War. At 1202 Main, across the street, stands a large building that began in 1858 as the First Baptist Church, but was not completed until after the Civil War. Notice the cast iron brackets, window sills, and lintels. This Greek Revival structure originally had a large bell tower
that rivaled the courthouse clock tower in size until it was removed in 1905 after being struck by lightning. The Baptists continued to meet here until 1972 when they moved to a modern building. At 1211 Main, ahead and on your right, is an ornate cast iron fence. It originally fronted the William Morrison residence, one of several fine pre-Civil War homes that originally stood on this block, including another that was hit by a cannonball during the Battle of Lexington. The fence was undoubtedly cast at the Morrison Foundry located near the river. Prior to the battle, Federal troops burned the foundry since it had produced cannonballs for the Missouri State Guard. After the war, the foundry was rebuilt and continued to produce cast iron fences, storefronts, and the ornate ironwork seen in Machpelah Cemetery.
Now, go to 13th Street and turn right. Pull over and park to hear about the buildings on the opposite side of 13th Street. If walking, stay on the right side of the street. Pause the tour until you are stopped on 13th Street.
Across the street, on the southwest corner of 13th and Main, is a 1912 example of Beaux-Arts architecture that originally served as the U.S. Post Office. Peepholes allowed the postmaster and postal inspectors to monitor each room for misconduct, even in the employee bathroom. At the time, all employees were males. The building was later headquarters of the school district and a commercial business. Next door, at 112 South 13th Street, is the Lexington Historical Museum, a Greek Revival structure with a distinctive bell tower. It was built in 1846 as the Cumberland Presbyterian Church and later served as a boys' school and a library. Plan to visit the Historical Museum to see the many interesting exhibits on the steamboat era, the Osage Indians, the Pony Express, and the Battle of Lexington, including the sword of Federal Commander James Mulligan.
Continue forward now to the corner of 13th Street and Franklin Avenue directly ahead. Park or stop here before continuing to the next track.
Across the street, at the northeast corner of 13th and Franklin, is Christ Church Episcopal, a fine example of the Gothic Revival style, with pointed arch windows and buttresses on the walls. The main part of the church was built in 1848 and still has the original oiled walnut pews and altar rail, plus elaborate stained and painted glass windows and an organ that came by steamboat from St. Louis in 1867. Having originally served in the cathedral there. The octagonal tower with a crenellated parapet on top was added in 1890. Looking forward, across Franklin Avenue on the southwest corner of 13th and Franklin is a recent addition to Lexington's architecture. This bank building is in the postmodern style, with elements of the past, such as columns, brackets, and a columned portico with a pediment. To your right, at the northwest corner of 13th and Franklin, is Heritage Park. It commemorates the steamboat Saluda, which blew up at Lexington's upper landing in 1852 in the worst disaster ever on the Missouri River. Nearly 100 people were killed, including many Mormons going to Salt Lake City. The funeral for the victims was held at the Episcopal Church. Orphaned children were adopted by Lexington families. A bronze plaque tells the story of the disaster and lists the victims as far as they are known. The bell in the tower is almost identical to the one used on the Saluda and shows Diana, the goddess of the hunt. Other plaques in the park honor additional chapters in Lexington's history.
At the intersection of 13th and Franklin Avenue, turn right onto Franklin Avenue. Pull over and park just past the Saluda Memorial. If walking, first cross Franklin Avenue, then turn right to walk along the left side of the street.
As you go west on Franklin toward the business district, we'll sketch another chapter in Lexington's Civil War history. During the war, the area surrounding Lexington was known as a center for Quantrill's raiders and other southern guerrillas. 2 months after the war ended, several of them decided to turn themselves in for a pardon at Lexington. While riding into town, reportedly under a white flag, they skirmished with federal soldiers. One of them was shot and severely wounded, but escaped, and later gained legendary status as a bank robber and outlaw. His name? Jesse James. Another notorious guerrilla named Archie Clements met a grim end in Lexington just after the Civil War. Little Archie, at just over 5 feet tall and about 130 pounds, had been described as Bloody Bill Anderson's head devil. He played an active role in both the 1863 raid on Lawrence, Kansas, and the massacre of Union soldiers in Centralia, Missouri. He and others were in Lexington in the fall of 1866, causing trouble and intimidating voters in the November elections. Federal troops rode into town from Sedalia to capture him. On December 13, 1866, Archie left his haunt in a saloon on Main Street, hopped on his horse, and rode down Franklin Avenue to get out of town. A federal soldier stationed on the second floor of the courthouse shot him dead as he rode by. Insult must have been added to injury because a lawman who was involved later wrote,
"We took the body to the courthouse, where an examination disclosed that Clements had been hit 33 or 34 times."
Now continue towards 11th Street. Pull over and stop near the corner of 11th and Franklin, just past the Cannonball movie theater on your left. If walking, continue on the left side of the street to the corner of 11th and Franklin.
Several wagon-making and blacksmith shops, along with the town's ice factory, once occupied what is now the movie theater's parking lot. The brick building just to the west of the theater is the only remaining part of the large brewery complex that once stood here. Founded in 1875, it could produce 50 barrels of beer a day by 1912. The 18th Amendment in 1919 ended the legal production of alcohol here. But in 1929, the former brewery was raided by federal agents who found 30,000 gallons of mash and copper stills capable of producing 1,000 gallons of whiskey a day. The chief perpetrators apparently escaped through a trap door leading to a tunnel. But one man who was arrested stated he was just employed to fire a boiler. The building on the northeast corner of 11th and Franklin is one of the oldest commercial buildings in downtown Lexington, probably dating to the 1840s or 50s. Around the turn of the century, it housed the French-Italian Cooperative Store, one of several businesses that catered to the needs of the flood of European immigrants who came to work in the coal mines surrounding Lexington. At the northwest corner of 11th and Franklin, directly ahead and on the right, is the 1939 Lexington Auditorium and Civic Center, called the Lex. Built by the Works Progress Administration during the Depression, the rounded entry, glass block, and lettering above the doors are all representative of the Art Deco style. For decades, the auditorium hosted everything from dance recitals to town halls to rock concerts. In 2010, a campaign was begun to restore the auditorium to a state-of-the-art community center. The restored building at 1029 Franklin Avenue housed Henry Wilkening's blacksmith business. You can still see the door on the lower level facing 11th Street that allowed wagons to enter. In 2007, a mural was painted on the wall of this building depicting the history of Lexington.
Now, continue west and cross 11th Street. Pull over and park towards the end of the block to view the 1905 City Hall building on your right. If walking, continue on the left side of the street.
Just beyond the auditorium, at the northeast corner of 10th and Franklin, is the 1905 City Hall in a combination of Beaux-Arts styles. The unusual lighted floating dome and observation deck was used for civil defense watches during World War II. The City Hall originally housed the fire department and its horse-drawn vehicles. The former jail in the basement was designated as a fallout shelter during the Cold War. Now beautifully restored and called Lafayette Hall, the building is part of the Lafayette County Court System.
Now, cross 10th Street and continue slowly toward 9th Street.
At the northwest corner of 10th and Franklin, on your right, is the Presbyterian Disciples Church. The original Greek Revival structure was built in 1844 on land donated by pioneer merchant James All, who lived where the education wing is now located. In 1846, All took a trading caravan down the Santa Fe Trail to Mexico. After being caught up in the Mexican War, he opened a store in Chihuahua, where he was killed by bandits. The church's bell tower, with its ornate cast iron cupola, was added later. On the southwest corner of 10th and Franklin is the current Lexington City Hall, located in a former bank building. The carved stone sign in front was originally over the entrance of the 1905 City Hall. Looking west, on your left, at 905 Franklin, is an 1847 Greek Revival house that was later Victorianized with Italianate and Second Empire features. At 901 Franklin, on your left at the corner, is a small building from the 1860s known as the Monument Shop. It was a German-American stoneworking business, which may account for the unique Jacobean features on the front, including the niche, inserts, and stepped profile. The tombstones in front advertised the products available. On the northwest corner of 9th and Franklin was the Grand Opera House, built around the 1880s. It was converted to a silent movie theater before burning in 1924. What became the Dunbrook Apparel Corporation, still a well-known brand of sportswear, was founded at this location in 1939. On the northeast corner, it's said that slave auctions were held from the 1840s to the 1860s.
Now, turn right onto 9th Street, looking toward Main Street. Pull over and park on 9th, close to Main Street. If walking, use the right side of the street.
This block of 9th Street was originally lined with commercial buildings, including, at various times, a livery stable, a Chinese laundry, and the law offices of Judge John F. Ryland. He was a Missouri Supreme Court justice and a deciding voice in the infamous Dred Scott decision that was affirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1857. It is often cited as one of the causes of the Civil War.
If walking, cross 9th Street, staying on the left, heading west toward 8th Street. All points of interest will be on the left side of the street. If driving, turn left onto Main Street, staying to the left of the V intersection ahead. Pull over to the curb to hear about the buildings on your left.
At 827 Main, on the southwest corner of 9th and Main Streets, is an Italianate building that was originally the Alexander Mitchell Bank. In 1866, it was the second bank robbed by the celebrated James Gang. They came away with about $2,000 and a small gold watch. From the inscription, they discovered that the watch belonged to the little daughter of Lexington banker William Limerick. Always concerned about public relations, the gang returned the watch along with a letter of apology. Her descendants still have the watch today. At 817 Main is another Italianate commercial building that housed the banking firm of this same William Limerick. Mr. Limerick made his fortune outfitting settlers and traders on the Santa Fe Trail and built the grand home just southeast of Lexington that is now called Linwood Lawn. At 8th and Main, on your left, stands a large brick Greek Revival building. It was built in 1847 as the fifth branch of the Missouri State Bank. By the time of the Civil War, it had become the Farmers Bank of Missouri. In 1861, federal troops confiscated nearly $1 million in state education funds that were on deposit here. Most of the money was later returned. For many years, the building was an elegant private residence. After 1900, it became the Elks Lodge.
If walking, continue moving west past 8th Street to the intersection of Highland Avenue and Main. If driving, continue forward to the intersection of Main and Highland. Pull over on Main near the stop sign and park.
As we briefly leave the downtown area, we'll relate another tale about the Jesse James Gang. In 1874, just across the river from Lexington, the James Gang held up the omnibus that carried passengers from the train station to the Lexington Ferry. A woman who knew the James boys was a witness to the robbery and chewed them out for stooping so low as to rob a bus. They admitted this was a bit small for them and returned watches to two of the male passengers and agreed not to rob the only woman aboard. One of the passengers was a young Kentucky man on his way to Lexington to establish a boys' school in the former Cumberland Presbyterian Church. He lost his fine coat and vest to the robbers, but a newspaper later reported,
"He was exceedingly glad, as he had to be robbed, that it was done by first-class artists, by men of national reputation."
Turn right now on Highland Avenue. Go one block to Broadway. If driving, pull over and park near this intersection to hear about the Madonna of the Trail statue directly ahead. If walking, and you would like a closer view of the statue, cross Broadway carefully, watching for cars coming up the blind curve of Highway 224 on your left. Pause the tour until you are ready to hear about the statue.
In the small park on the northeast corner of Highland and Broadway stands the Madonna of the Trail statue, looking west out over the Missouri River Valley. 12 of these statues were placed by the Daughters of the American Revolution in each of the states along the National Old Trails Road from Maryland to California. They honor the courage of the pioneer women in the westward movement. The Lexington statue was dedicated in 1928 by then Jackson County Judge and future President Harry S. Truman, who was at that time head of the National Old Trails Association. The Lafayette Lexington chapter of the DAR has long led efforts to maintain and restore this monument. Other markers in the park commemorate the Pottawatomie Trail of Death. In the fall of 1838, 850 members of the Pottawatomie tribe were rounded up by U.S. soldiers and forcibly relocated from Indiana to Kansas. They crossed the Missouri River here at Lexington on October 27th. More than 40 died during the march.
If driving, turn right onto Broadway, heading towards downtown. Go a short distance and stop just before the log house on your right. If walking, use the left side of Broadway as you head back downtown. Points of interest will be on both sides of the street.
Broadway led down to the ferry and the steamboat landing on the river, and was once a bustling street lined with warehouses and general stores. About where the House of Hope now stands, at 301 Broadway, a large three-story building was erected in 1853 and called Arcana Hall. The first floor was a warehouse with meeting rooms above for the arcane secret rituals of the Masonic and Oddfellows lodges. When federal troops occupied Lexington in the late summer and fall of 1861, leading citizens suspected as secessionists were temporarily imprisoned in Arcana Hall. As late as 1897, the building was the site of the 6th Annual Missouri Poultry Association Exhibition. According to contemporary accounts of the event,
"There was much cackling and crowing over the splendid achievements of the Missouri hen. The crowds in attendance were enthusiastic in their expressions of approval and surprise at the splendid array of more than 800 exceedingly high-class fowls."
At 308 Broadway is a building that housed the Lexington Calaboose during the 1800s. Calaboose is derived from the Spanish word for dungeon and was a common term for the city jail in many western and southern towns. Lexington's Calaboose was conveniently located to provide accommodations for the many ruffians and scoundrels who were undoubtedly washed up here on the banks of the Missouri River. At 309 Broadway, on the right, is the 1830s log house, which originally stood on Highland Avenue, about one block west, where it overlooked the old ferry landing. When it was discovered in 1982 under the siding of a house that was about to be torn down, members of the Lexington Historical Association disassembled it, numbered the pieces, and re-erected it on this site. The structure is known to date from at least the 1830s because a mouse's nest with pieces of a newspaper from that decade was found under the house. It has since served as a museum, artisan's gallery, and antique shop, and is now a private residence.
If walking, stay on the left side of the street as you move toward 9th Street. If driving, continue forward now on Broadway, which curves to the left and becomes Main Street. Follow the curve. Immediately, park on the right side of Main before you reach 9th Street. Pause the tour until you are safely parked on Main Street.
Here at the intersection of Broadway and Main Street, a local German blacksmith, Christian Mayl, was murdered in broad daylight on May 27, 1862, with a single stab wound to the heart. A man named William Jilton killed him using a 25-cent knife. The motive for this bold crime was believed to have been that Mayl, like most German Americans, was a loyal Union supporter who had served a 3-month stint in the Federal Army. Jilton was convicted and sentenced to prison, but a few years later, he wrote to his lawyer,
"Dear sir, I have the honor to call your attention to the fact that I am still here, and am likely to remain here, unless some of those outside shall take hold of the matter and make a move for my release."
Several leading Lexington citizens petitioned the governor for Jilton's release, and he was pardoned after serving only a short time in prison. Could it be that Jilton had something on them? Another example of the undercurrent of conflicting loyalties that prevailed in Lexington before, during, and after the Civil War. At 9th and Main, on the left, the building on the northeast corner was a nightclub during the days of Prohibition, when Lexington was a wide-open town with forbidden pleasures that attracted everyone from Kansas City mob bosses to college students from Columbia. It is said that jazz legend Count Basie sometimes came here to play during his Kansas City years, before he moved on to Chicago and New York and international fame. From the late 19th through the early 20th centuries and beyond, the block on the south side of Main Street between 9th and 10th was notoriously known as Block 42. 42 referred to the block number on the city plat map, not to the number of saloons, as is often stated. Nevertheless, in 1918, there were no less than 12 saloons on this single block, along with 2 restaurants, 2 barber shops, and a billiard parlor. The upper floors of some of the buildings housed bordellos and gambling dens. One pillar of the community, the legendary Mrs. Susan McCausland, was once caught walking on the wrong side of the street and reproached with the maxim that a lady never walks on Block 42.
"Nonsense,"
said she.
"A lady is a lady wherever she walks."
In the middle of Block 42 at 911 Main is the 1902 Beaux-Arts Eagle Building, which originally housed a movie theater, as well as the Fraternal Order of the Eagles. Across the street, the building at 926 Main was the headquarters of General Sterling Price during the Battle of Lexington. According to one theory, the cannonball that hit the courthouse was aimed badly at this headquarters. At 930 Main Street, on the northwest corner of 10th and Main, was the headquarters of the firm of Russell, Majors, and Waddell. In the 1850s, this company had a huge freighting business that supplied all government forts in the West, with hundreds of employees and thousands of wagons. Two of the company's principals, William H. Russell and William Bradford Waddell, lived in Lexington. In 1860, they formed the Pony Express, hoping to get the mail contract to California, but they didn't get it, and the firm failed in 1861. The original building collapsed in 1926 and was replaced by the present Mediterranean Revival Building.
If walking, cross 10th Street, then cross Main Street to the northwest corner of the Courthouse Square. If driving, continue now up Main Street to 10th Street and turn right. Park on 10th Street to view the memorials and markers on the Courthouse Square. Pause the tour until you have stopped or parked by the courthouse.
On the southeast corner of 10th and Main is a monument commemorating Russell, Majors, and Waddell as founders of the Pony Express. Nearby, The replica of the Statue of Liberty was erected by the Boy Scouts of America in 1951. A little further south on 10th is the inspiring Lafayette County Veterans Memorial, dedicated in 2006, honoring veterans of both World Wars and subsequent wars through the present day. The six-sided central column has graphics representing each branch of service, surmounted by an eagle. This concludes the tour of the Downtown Commercial Historic District. Note that the Lexington Trails Regional Library, just across the street at 1008 Main, has an excellent collection of historical and genealogical materials about our area. We hope you have enjoyed this experience and will take tours of the other historic districts of legendary Lexington.
Legends of Lexington Audio Tours is a production of the Lexington Community Arts Pilot Project, a three-way collaboration between the University of Missouri Extension, the University of Missouri, and the community of Lexington, Missouri, designed to promote community and economic development through the arts. This project is dedicated in loving memory to Roger Slusher. Roger was a lifelong Lexington resident and considered Lexington's historian. He taught history at Wentworth Military Academy and directed the Lexington Historical Museum and the Santa Fe Trail Association. With his wife, Sandra, Roger contributed invaluable resources and guidance to this project. Legends of Lexington was produced and directed by Houston Walkinshaw, with original music by Justin Pounds, composer at the University of Missouri. Sound engineering by William J. Lackey, assistant teaching professor of composition and managing director of the Mizzou New Music Initiative. Scripting by Dan Cambridge and Houston Walkinshaw. And narration and voices by the Citizens and Friends of Lexington. Funding for this project was provided by premier sponsors Bill and Julie LaHue, Steve and Wilma Sellers, and the Lexington Tourism Commission, as well as more than 30 other community sponsors. Additional funding was provided by the Sinkfield Charitable Foundation and the MU School of Music, with special thanks to Robert Shea, by Lafayette County Live Healthy, Live Well, Union Pacific Foundation, and the Richard S. Brownlee Fund of the State Historical Society of Missouri. Our thanks to the many other volunteers and supporters from the community of Lexington and beyond for their priceless contributions to this project.